So we're going to be in John chapter 12, and I'm going to read, and then we'll close in, we'll open in prayer and then get started. John chapter 12, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he, that's Jesus, raised from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Verse 2, there made him a supper, and Martha served, notice, take note of that, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So now they're eating supper. Mary's there, Martha's there, and Lazarus is there with Jesus. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, we know who Judas Iscariot is, right? The one who betrayed Jesus. Simon's son, which should betray him. Verse 5, why? Now this is Judas reacting to Mary using the spikenard and using her hair to wash Jesus' feet. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Judas is saying, why is she doing this ridiculous thing? Why didn't she sell that costly ointment and what? And give it and sell it to give it to the poor. Now, we know who Judas is, but verse 6 explains why he said that. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So remember, John, the Apostle John, it pens this years later after, not too far off, but he's penning this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, years later, giving the account of everything that's happening. Now, at the time, if you're living this, you don't know that Judas walked with Jesus, folks. He sat under the feet of Jesus, and guess what? He still betrayed him, right? That is a lesson here. That's a warning, is that you could be, and I'm not saying anybody here, but you can be sitting in a church with a Bible on your lap, but your heart is far from Jesus. You're not circumcised. You're not spiritually circumcised. You're not changed. You don't have the Holy Spirit indwelled in you, right? So we got to make sure that we know the Lord and we have an actual relationship with him, because he was physically next to Jesus and yet knew him not. That's a very sobering thought, right? So let's not be deceived and make sure we know the Master, and we hear the Master's voice. Okay, so that's verse 6. Verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. This is Jesus' response to Judas. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. We'll explain that. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Jesus is saying, there's always going to be poor people. But I'm not always going to be here. Now, that's an important point, and we'll get to that. And that'll explain today's society as well. Verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only. They didn't come just for Jesus, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. We want to see this man that was resurrected as he looked. You gotta imagine, somebody was raised from the dead. Do they look different? What's going on with them? Are they gonna be right? You're gonna have these ideas about it. This has never happened, right? This is not natural. It is supernatural. But the chief priests, verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Right? Guilt, right? By association. If they persecute me, they're gonna persecute you, right? It's the same idea. Verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, that he cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, we just sang about it, right? Thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Jesus is the king. Verse 16, these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. And we'll talk about that in future messages. The people, therefore, verse 17, the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause, the people also met him for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. That's a cool verse because they are scared of Jesus. It's a power struggle. They're scared because here's the difference between somebody that is saved and somebody that is not saved. And it's all in the sense of Jesus gave them evidence of who he is. But in their heart, they couldn't settle it. And instead of accepting who he is, they fought against him in their heart. You understand, it's this desire to resist him that they felt more comfortable with than to submit to him. They knew, why did they say that? The world has gone after him. They're scared. They're scared that Jesus is who he actually say he is, and he's not crazy. People thought Jesus was crazy. They thought the disciples were cuckoo. You got to remember this. If all of you today were part of Jesus's camp, right? And maybe some of you were outside of the camp, and this man comes and he's proclaiming that he's God and that he's right. If he just says that, we say what? Oh, that guy's kind of off. But if he's raising people from the dead, right? Then we say, well, wait a minute, there is something to this. Now, miracles are just one thing. That's the manifestation, that's the display that Jesus is God. Somebody else is going to come do that in the future, and right? And then it says, beware, right? Because that's talking about first, that's in the future, right? So the practical application is this. People can do things and show things that seem miraculous or whatnot. They can seem that, but Jesus is always concerned about what I'm saying. Do you hear truth? Is the truth coming out, or are they lies? In fact, the Bible calls Satan. He says he has a tongue that's devilish. It's of a dragon, right? He can look. Lucifer was beautiful. He looked. He was fair to look upon. But what is it? The serpent, right? In the garden, that temptation. You got to be mindful of thinking. If Satan was truly beautiful, he was fair to look upon. You think Adam and Eve were kind of deceived, right? And what he said is what got them to sin. He's deceitful. It's the words. But Jesus will always speak truth. In fact, as Isaiah 53, we have to remember this. This is why a lot of people didn't trust Jesus. They're expecting a king, but he's coming as Isaiah 53. He's a tender plant. He's coming comely. He's not coming on a horse or a steed. He came on a donkey. So people are expecting this mighty king, but he came as a lowly servant, and people were deceived. And we have to remember that going in as we look at this passage is today, if somebody's preaching another Jesus that doesn't line up in the Bible, you gotta reject that, and you gotta settle in your heart saying, what does this Bible say about Jesus? That's the Jesus that I trust. Look, it's not about salvation at this point, right? It's about salvation in regards to make sure you trust the Savior. But then even in your Christian walk, you're going to have a lot of people come in and saying, well, Jesus really wouldn't want you could do that. Jesus really, no, that's what he said, right? Does it line up with God's word? Okay. The same came therefore to Philip, verse 21, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. We'll talk about that too in the Christian walk. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It's one thing to get saved, but it's another thing to serve Jesus. Okay? Two different things. The Lord is gracious. You called upon him for salvation. God doesn't want to be done with you. He just doesn't want to save you. He wants you to serve him for the rest of your life. And we don't like saying that because we like to just do our own thing. Let's be honest. It's a natural thing. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I don't want to do this. I don't want to submit under any authority. That is natural for mankind based on our sin nature to resist, right? If anybody tells you what to do, have you ever in the past been like, you don't know what you're talking about, right? But see, that's our natural response. But what Jesus is trying to do for us, and he's saying, if you submit under my authority, he says, it's going to be hard because what you're trying to do is, Romans 12:1, it talks about being conformed in the image, right? Or not being conformed to this world, but transformed. A transformation is harder than conforming, right? Because I can conform to the world by just what? Just existing and just following along. Transformation requires work. It requires me and my Bible. It requires me to, if I'm a new creature in Christ, my fruits better show it. And if they're not showing it, I gotta work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for it, but examine myself constantly saying, Lord, I repent of that. That I shouldn't be doing that, and then keep striving. It's a process. It's a process. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus is conflicted. He knows his time is nearing. His hour is coming. It's nearing. What's the hour of his coming? He's gonna be sent to the cross to die for our sins. He's gonna be. Right? And things are heating up here. They're escalating. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. This is God Almighty. This is Jehovah speaking to Jesus. And people heard it and they said it thundered. Folks, we're reading it from the pages, but try to picture yourself when they said it thundered. Can you imagine you hear thunder when it's really loud? In a storm, or sometimes you see the lightning and you're like, oh, there's no thunder, right? And then you're like, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, 10 Mississippi, and all of a sudden, boom, it still shocks you. You know it's coming, and it comes at some point. Imagine that, but magnified. That's the voice of the Lord. That's the voice of God Almighty. We don't understand truly. When the Bible says that we're looking through a glass darkly, we are, folks, He's infinite, he's mighty, he's powerful, he's the creator. He's sustaining everything right at this moment. We don't understand it. I don't know if we ever will. In fact, he might never even explain. That's the point of faith, is saying just, Lord, God is good, right? The Lord is good. We just accept it and believe that. Stop trying to understand the Lord from an intellectual level and just love him, just pray to him, talk with him, just dwell in his presence. That's the best thing that we can do. And then he just keeps showing you more and more and more. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me. No, because Jesus knows the Father. But for your sakes. Again, more evidence. Guys, I am the Son of God. I'm talking to my Father, God Almighty. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, that's Satan, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And we'll talk about that future messages. Verse 33, this he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how saith the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now, wait a minute. We heard out of the law. So we've heard from the scriptures. We heard out of the law. So who is this Son of Man? So wait a minute. They know the scriptures. They know the law. But what's missing out of their heart? Why are they asking the question? It's faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You can have the scriptures in front of you, but do you believe it? See, that's what, there comes a point where when you get saved, some people get saved not knowing anything about the Bible at all. They hear the words of God, right? You can talk to somebody, but what is it in their heart that God, it's a supernatural work. for salvation to happen. It is not upon our merits. All we're called to do is what? Preach the gospel. Go minister. Tell them. Sow the seed. Tell them how great Jesus is, what he did in our life. But ultimately, there comes a point where that person has to come in a crossroads and says, maybe he is who he says he is. And then what happens? They repent and they say, Lord, I trust you. They don't know it. They don't know the second coming prophecy. They don't know what justification is. You just tell them what? We shall just preach Jesus. You just preach Jesus to them and then get saved. And then what happens? Discipleship. They grow in the word. That's the proper process, right? So that's what it's talking about. They're still asking these questions. Verse 35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you, walk while ye have the light. Lest warning, darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. If you're in darkness and you have no flashlight, if you don't have the lamp, if you don't have the word of God, how do you know where you're going? Proverbs, who's going to direct my paths? What do we see today? People are wandering all over the place because what? They're trying to find meaning and purpose, and instead they're sedating themselves in drugs and all these other things and crime and what? They're pleading, they're crying out that they need a Savior, but they don't want a Savior. Understand what's happening? Is that they need Jesus, but they don't want Jesus, so they're trying to find another God to suffice to them. That is the same thing that is happening today. While you have the light, trust in me. Verse 37. Oh, I'm sorry. Then these things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Okay, Jesus in John chapter 1, he says, who's the light? He says, I'm the light of the world. Jesus is light of the world. Verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Bless you. Miracles are not for salvation. Miracles were what? To show them who he is. And then ultimately, what has gotten people saved when Jesus healed them? He didn't say, I healed your lameness. He said, your faith has made you whole. Right? Because they believed upon him. And it's such an important point is that this faith healing movement and all these other movements that are saying, I equate my walk with God good because I have no sickness, I have no... No, that's not the gospel. That's not walking with Jesus. A lot of Christians have ailments and sickness, and praise God, some of those get answered, right? And then what do? We glorify God and we magnify him even more because we know that whether I'm here today, or if I go to be with the Lord, I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord. It is an ever eternal hope, even here, living in this earth, saying, you know what? Okay, the heat's going to go out. Okay, we're going to have problems, right? Okay, happy start of the week, right? But you know what? You just, what? The Lord convinces you. He says, look, there's just small things. And we say small things, but I'm sick and dying or this and that. You go, do you know the Lord? Has he trusted you in the past? Isn't the greatest reward to be with him? See, our desire has to be completely with him. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir, right? I'm preaching to myself too. We have to settle that in our hearts. Therefore, verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, isn't that interesting? That he's quoting Isaiah. He's quoting it. He's not quoting it, but John's telling you Jesus is fulfilling prophecy from a 700-year-old book of the Bible that was written that long ago. And if you look at Isaiah, and if you read Isaiah and John together, you're going to find Isaiah is commonly called the fifth gospel of Jesus. If you didn't know that, it's commonly called the fifth gospel of Jesus because it there's so much in there of Jesus. I mean, it's incredible. Therefore, they could not, verse 39, therefore they could not be believed because Isaiah said again. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted. That's an important word. And I should heal them. These things Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him. Isaiah, remember he cries, holy, 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 right? Right. He's not crying it. The seraphim are crying it. They're standing around the throne of God. And Isaiah stands before, he stands, he sees this before, and he says, I just felt so undone because why? He realized and acknowledged how much of a sinner he is in the presence of true holiness. And then what's the great line after that? Right, here am I, Lord, right? Right? The Lord asked him, who's going to go forth? And it's cool because Jesus does the same thing. He has no support. He really doesn't. Jesus has no support. He has a Father, and that's all he needs. Think about us. He's in the garden, and they fall asleep. He says, you guys couldn't just stay a while? You don't think Jesus felt alone? I mean, I know a lot of people feel broken and alone. You don't think Jesus felt that? He did. He felt deep grief. And then he felt grief that we'll never experience and we don't understand or don't even know about. Think about all the people that have gone and unfortunately have passed into eternal damnation that he knew, if they just called upon me, I could save them. But guess what? He's holy and just. And a payment's a payment. Why would he send somebody to hell? It's because they desired not him. They desired to go. Hell and folks, if people, your family members, if you tell them about Jesus and they have a problem with that, sometimes I don't want to tell you what to tell them, but they wanted that. And you're saying, why would anybody want that? Well, it's because they didn't want Jesus here. They didn't want to walk with Jesus here. Hell is the absence of the Lord. That's what it is. It's God gave us a free will. So keep that in the back of your mind. Tell the people that still have a chance and saying, the Lord, he doesn't want anybody to perish. He's calling out. We tell them that at the nursing home all the time. Life is a vapor. He's calling to you. His arm, Isaiah 59, his arm is not shortened. It's not, his arm is so long. He goes, I will reach down as far as I need to save you. But you got to want to be saved. You got to want to come to me. And you cry out to your family members and you cry out to friends and whoever's listening online, trust Jesus. Just trust him. Now is the day of salvation. Verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Let me read that again. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. You don't think that there were some people in leadership that actually trusted Jesus? Absolutely. Absolutely, right? You guys could probably think of on top of your head right now, right? Like Nicodemus. I truly think they didn't believe in the resurrection at first because they're putting spices and all this on Jesus's on his body, right? Because you wouldn't need to do that if somebody was just going to rise again. So they didn't know, but they loved him. They started to love him. And they started questioning the authorities. Nicodemus did the same thing. He goes, guys, what are we doing? When somebody desires truth, shortly thereafter, they will start separating from the false life that they were destined to live. When you get saved, you slowly start filtering out all those people that are hindering your walk, right? And then you start gathering great people, right? Brothers and sisters in the Lord, that you can meet a Christian on the street. I'm telling you this. You guys have experienced this. You can meet a Christian on the street and be like, it's like they're like you've known them forever. It's weird. And you get to just talk to them about the Lord and not have your family member hate you or this is a much better life. Trust me. It's a much better life. They have no hope and we have to give them the hope. We have to tell them about the hope. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Folks, let me finish the verse. Lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So here's the thing. Some of them secretly thought this Jesus guy is real. They knew he was real. But here's the thing. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, right? Right in Romans, we have to be bold in saying, do I really believe him? I'm going to confess him. Don't hide it. Look, we live in a country right now where our churches are dying. They're dying spiritually. They're dying. They're not bold, but we are seeing a slow awakening. But sometimes that's just because it's a few far months review and everybody's got this removed and everybody's got this zeal. But when the going gets tough, right? When the going gets tough and it's just you get one hit after another, people drop in the race. When you confess the Lord and people know that, yes, you have a target on your back. You do. But you know what? He's worth it more. And the thing is that why would you hide that? Look, living your life for Christ as a testimony, and you are bold about it. And I'm not saying you have to be like Brother Jim, who's on the streets holding a cross. I mean, praise the Lord for him. You know, he's called for that work, and you don't have to hand out tracts. I know, I want you to. You really, you should hand out tracts to people. Just do it. My father was like this too. We would get so anxious of the response, but you know what? Sometimes people are just. They're actually thankful that you're just even talking to them. Just hand it out. You're not telling them, here's a parking ticket. You're just giving them the gospel and just explain. Be friendly. Ask them questions. Just reach out to them and talk to them. Do all those things. People need to know about Jesus because there is a day coming that they're going to be without him if they don't make that choice. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They loved the attaboys. Good job. Because it's superficial. You get up here on a pulpit or whatever they're doing at whatever church and they're high and mighty and they're looking at this guy. Yes, we get the blessing of him or we get the blessing of that. It's a power trip, folks. The only you're standing up here giving the word of God. Look. If a pastor comes up here and truly, genuinely is preaching the word of God for the sake of the flock, he's doing it not only for you, but a pastor that's preaching the word of God but examines his heart and says, I don't want the glory. I'm just delivering the message, right? We got a pastor like that, humble, just saying, guys, I'm just like you, but we need to encourage each other and exhort each other to serve the Lord, not desiring the praise of men, right? Your reward is in heaven, right? So it's good to have attaboys and that's good. Or praise the Lord, great message, that's fine. That's okay, that's encouragement. But what this is talking about is I'm afraid to take the jump of trusting in Christ and really living for him and being bold. Why? Because back in that day, your religion was tied to society. It was what we would call a theocracy. When you, the everything was centered around the religion. So when you got put out of the synagogue, you were ostracized from society. John chapter 9, the parents of the blind man. Okay? So today we live in a free society and we don't have to kind of worry about that, but we may get there. Born again Christians, maybe Canada's experiencing it right now. Other countries, Europe. Look at Europe. If you're a born again Christian, you're not looked greatly upon, but they're bold out there. I'm telling you, they're preaching out there. Nigeria, all these the persecution, I mean, there's so much persecution going on, but they're just praising the Lord. So, verse 47, and if any man hear my words, 45, and he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. If you see Jesus, you see the Father, because they're one. They're three persons in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is saying, if you see me, you've seen the Father. I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, notice, receiving words, not works, not anything else. It's receiving the words that were spoken. By receiving, we mean what? Believe. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, right? So we read that, 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, rejecting and receiving not his words are the same. That's the same thing. That's what that verse is telling you. Hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. We just went through the whole chapter. Next time we're going to go into this further, and we're going to break it down. And I just want you to keep in mind a couple things before we close. Keep in mind a couple things. Number one, the contrast between Mary and Judas, okay? Between Mary and Judas. Look at what she's doing. Look at what she's doing for the Lord. We're going to see that she's glorifying the Lord. She's offering her proper worship. And I want you to compare that with Judas. Think about it the next time we meet. I want us to think about Martha, Lazarus, and Mary, and how each one is playing a part. And we're going to look at Exodus. It's going to be weird, but we're going to look at Exodus, and we're actually going to compare what the Lord actually commands the Israelites. We're going to actually see that here with all of them. See, God has been folding, he's been folding everything in his word intricately. And he does it in a way that it's almost like a puzzle that just keeps opening up new doorways, because that's what the Bible is. It's written by an infinite, almighty God. And so when we start exploring this, we're going to start seeing bigger pictures here. It comes back to this. It is cool to know things of the Bible. It is cool. It's cool to know the different miracles that Jesus does and how it ties in with this, and different verses, how they're prophecy. People love prophecy because they love end time prophecy, especially because they're like, it hasn't come yet. What is the Lord saying and all this? But most of the Bible is written about practical matters. The Old Testament has some practicality to it. And the New Testament says, follow that example. For instance, right? Look at this guy, Joshua. He's great, right? Look at this character trait of him. The New Testament says, right, we should be like that in the church. Look at Moses. Look how he parted the Red Sea. And we look at this, and they're all for our admonition, our correction, our reproof. We should be studying this Bible not to gain head knowledge, to say, here's my guide to life. And guess what? We fail sometimes, right? Because our flesh just takes over. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. As we go on in this chapter, we're going to look at the first quarter of it. We're going to look at the sitting at the feet of Jesus, supping with him, right? Supping with Jesus is so important because that's what the Lord's table is. It's communing with him. It's fellowship. It's being with him. We're going to talk about service. And then we're going to talk about Palm Sunday, as we call it, and how it's, I mean, if you go out during Palm Sunday, everybody doesn't know what it's actually about. And I'm talking the world. They just think it's the Sunday before Easter, and we do this and we do that. Folks, Palm Sunday is actually it's a sad occasion. Even though everybody's praising the Lord at that time, those very same people are calling for his crucifixion. We're such a volatile people that, you know, I'm saying we're such an untrusting people that only, what did they want Jesus for? For themselves. They wanted to, they thought he was going to fulfill something, and he did something else. Nobody's desiring to be saved from their sin. Right? If you live your Christian life wanting to be like Jesus, I had a pastor say it yesterday, Pastor Al. He said, more and more, he says, a lot of the times we're so concerned about how we pray or where we pray or what to say when we pray. Just open up to the Lord, like I'm talking to you right now, and just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I be more like you? How do I be better for you? I want to be like you. We have all these role models that people want to be like. Nobody wants to be like Jesus. Everybody wants to be like a football player. They want to be like this music star. They want to be like this scientist, this whatever. They want to be like all these people, and nobody desires to be like Jesus. You know why? It's because the Christian walk doesn't pay dividends a lot of the times in this life. It doesn't, folks. Folks, the reality is this. The reality is this. No, I'm serious. The reality is, in this Christian life, the dividends, the reward is Jesus. It's a relationship. It's not about, it's spiritual blessings, right? I repeat this every time I preach, but that is the Christian life, and we have to be reminded of it. And you say, well, I know that. But then next week happens, and what do we expect? We expect, well, Lord, I'm dealing with this. Why is this happening? And we're questioning all these things, and why do we question the Lord sometimes? You don't audibly do it sometimes, but do we do it in our heart, in our prayers? Why isn't this happening, right? Pastor John preached a great message about God knowing the heart last week, and one of the things was, it really hit home because it was talking about like the patience and the waiting and knowing that why did she get a different result from the Lord when the angel came versus Zechariah, right? Because he was a priest. There was accountability there. He knew the prayer was going to be answered, but he just didn't really believe it, right? You can be saved, but you can have unbelief. And it's that idea, it's like, Lord, I don't understand this, but I guess I just have to leave it at your feet and then stop controlling it. And then what do? You leave it at the feet, and then you just start trying to pick it up again and control it, right? So next time when we get into there, we'll try to get through Palm Sunday and Mary and all these things, but God is good, and this is a great chapter to understand what the Lord is starting to shift his focus, and he's really, you could preach this, you can talk to somebody, and this is a great chapter to talk to them about a young Christian that just, look at this. This is how you worship the Lord. This is what the Lord did. He died on a cross to draw men to salvation. And here's what you don't want to be like. You don't want to be like Judas. You don't want to be caring about the poor. We're going to talk about the poor, the role of the church and the poor, because a lot of people think the church is responsible for the poor. And I'm going to rub a couple feathers here, but the gospel is designed to save people, but Jesus himself said what? You're always going to have the poor. We love the poor, right? What is the poor, right? I mean, we could be poor, whatever. There is, we are needy, and we should help those that are needy, but Jesus is going to shift that focus, and he says, don't make that the church. You understand? Don't make that the church. It's good to have soup kitchens and that. He goes, the primary focus is me, the gospel, and he's going to say that. And that's a hard thing to swallow, right? Because Jesus said it, and he goes, you're always going to have the poor. So we're gonna get into that and talk about that too. So we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we just thank you for the people coming out even, Lord, with just different circumstances. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And thank you for your word. Thank you for just being trustworthy, Lord. Thank you for the praise for our sister here, Lord. And thank you for the song that was sung earlier, Lord. And just to get our spirits aligned to you, Lord, our spirit to you. And just thank you for everything that you do, Lord. You're such a good God, a gracious God, a merciful God. And we really don't deserve you, Lord, but you still died for us. And we're just thankful for that. And I be with everybody as they continue in their week. Lord, be with the people listening online if they do listen online, Lord, and may this touch their heart, and maybe they don't know you. Maybe this is the first time listening to the Bible or listening to about Jesus, and maybe they just want to know more and just prick their heart, Lord. We thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.